The 6th of May 2010. It was a relatively ordinary day on the US financial markets until something rather bizarre happened.
I don't know. There is fear. This is capitulation, really. I mean, it is classic capitulation. There is fear in this market. You can take a look at what has
happened. That was the reaction from financial broadcaster CNBC just after 3 o'clock that day, when a wave of selling suddenly caused prices to plummet. It started on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, but other markets quickly followed suit. Shares in blue-chip companies began changing hands for just a handful of cents. Then, almost as quickly, calm was restored, and investors around the world were left asking, what happened? Among them was Justin Urquhart Stewart of Seven Investment Management.
It was so fast, both in its action and also in its recovery, no one quite understood actually what had occurred. The immediate thought was, oh, well, obviously it's a systems glitch rather than anything else, because the systems are all designed these days that if there is a problem, there's an automatic shutdown, and so it's almost like having a power cut. That was the assumption.
Now, 5 years later, the US Department of Justice thinks it has the answer. This dramatic flash crash, it claims, may have been sparked in part by one young man working from his parents' home, a perfectly ordinary cream-painted three-bedroom house in the West London suburb of Hounslow. It thinks Navinder Singh Sarau used an off-the-shelf computer program to create and then instantly cancel huge orders, to manipulate the price of financial products and make a profit. This, it says, created market conditions which helped trigger the crash. He denies any wrongdoing. And according to Philip Stafford, trading room editor of the Financial Times, the theories attracted a rather sceptical response from the financial community.
Normally, trading takes place using superfast computers. They use very high-speed telecom connections. This guy, by his own admission, didn't use any of those. He used a computer and a mouse, much the same you get at home. And I think this is part of the issue that people have is the narrative that is being presented by the arrest doesn't really tally with many people's experiences.
There are other unanswered questions as well. The Department of Justice claims Mr. Sarau and his company made a profit of $40 million, but it's far from clear where that money's gone, or even where he allegedly found the cash to make such large-scale trades in the first place. Philip Stafford thinks any money trail would be very difficult to follow.
Normally, if people do trade on their own, there are plenty of day traders out there. They've worked at banks and futures brokerages, that kind of thing. They've earned money over time, and then they've taken their earnings, their bonuses, and they've set up on their own. Quite where this money has come from this time is not very clear, because the places where he's worked aren't particularly well-known institutions. They're not big players within the market. So quite where the money came from in the first place and where it's gone is an equally interesting question.
One issue which has alarmed many experts is the sheer speed with which the crash occurred. That's been widely attributed to the growth in so-called high-frequency trading carried out by computers running sophisticated programs. They can place huge volumes of orders to buy or sell stock in the blink of an eye, with little human oversight. And they're responsible for about 80% of all transactions on the US markets. But that's raised concerns that even a small glitch can have big consequences. Justin Urquhart Stewart says this increased automation has made problems much more likely.
The processes in the markets have changed hugely from where they were, well, you only have to go back 2.5 decades ago, to the position where we were actually trading manually, with actually going around holding pieces of paper. Lovely concept. And so, therefore, the ability to have a crash, in terms of a flash crash, didn't exist. Now, the system has become so complicated that actually many of the major companies actually operating in the market don't understand what they're dealing with.
Professor Ted Kaufman of Duke University Law School is a former US senator and an outspoken critic of the way in which high-frequency trading is regulated. He says major changes are needed because regulators haven't kept up with the technology.
We are in this incredible position. We've been in it for, oh my goodness, now 10 years, where we cannot have real regulation, because in order to have regulation, you have to have transparency. And we really do not know what's going on in our own markets.
Do you think there could be another flash crash?
As long as we don't know what's going on in the marketplace, then there is a chance for a flash crash or something even worse. That's the whole idea behind regulation, is you have to know what's going on in your markets. And our markets are the envy of the world. But if we don't have the regulation and the transparency to have the regulation, then all kinds of bad things can happen.
Mr. Sarau denies the charges against him and is fighting extradition to the United States. But whatever happens to him personally, the flash crash and its aftermath have clearly raised valid questions about how the markets operate and whether the time has now come for regulators to rein in the robots.